Great to see you guys this morning. Thanks, amen. Oh, I'm on. Finally, Matt, a microphone that works. All right, I'm going to slide it down a little bit because I think it works a little too much. Guys, it's great to see you. As you all know, Daryl is not here. I'm not Daryl. I'm not even a facsimile of Daryl. But I just praise the Lord, guys, for the opportunity to be standing here, Mr. Gardner, ministering to you all in the name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. It's just a wonderful, wonderful privilege just to be able to proclaim His goodness. And guys, we're not going to dilly-dally or anything. We just want to dive right in because it's a good text. And I shared with the Sunday school class that the Lord allows me to teach that some of you may be familiar with the text that we are going to speak on this morning. So if you have your copy of God's Word, you can turn to the book of John. Just in case you don't know, you will find the book of John in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the fourth book in the New Testament. The book of John, John chapter 3. John, ironically enough, John chapter 3. We'll do one verse in John chapter 3. Maybe some of you will know what it is. But guys, we're just excited. We're excited. We're excited about being here this morning here in the house of the Lord. And I would like to share with you the inspiration for this song, the inspiration for this message, guys, has been coming to me for 50 years. Now, I know I don't look 50, but I am 50. And if you guys will tune with me on Saturday nights on WVIZ at 7 o'clock. WVIZ is public television. For those of you guys who are what in the world is that? Public television, Saturday nights at 7 o'clock on WVIZ, they show every week the Lawrence Welk Show. If you've heard of Lawrence Welk, throw up your hand. Okay, yay, all right. For those of you Lawrence Welk fans, give a rousing amen, amen. All right, love Lawrence Welk, was raised on Lawrence Welk, and every once in a while, the Lawrence Welk Band would pound out a good polka or two. Now, I know some of you are thinking right now, wait a minute, a good polka? That's an oxymoron. There's no such thing as a good polka, but I love polka music. I was raised on it, raised on Lawrence Welk, and every once in a while, you will hear Lawrence Welk at the end of, say, Myron Florin or playing the accordion or somebody singing a beautiful song. He would say, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. That sound familiar, Joe Good? Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Guys, we're going to throw in another wonderful today. We're going to cover four wonderfuls this morning in regards to our text this morning. Guys, I'm old-fashioned. I would invite you, now that you are all nice and seated and well comfortable, I would invite you all to stand, if you would please. As we honor God's Word, we're going to read one verse of Scripture, and then we're going to begin our time together in study. From John chapter 3, I trust that you all successfully found that in your copy of God's Word. Guys, let's pound out verse number 16. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Chad, you're only with us for one more week. Would you please ask the Lord to bless the reading of the Word and our service this morning, sir?
Bless Him.
Bless him, Jesus. Amen. Thank you all. You may be seated, please, if you would. Now, most of you, as usual, are probably familiar with John 3:6. I know in Bible Bible drills and you know, Bible competitions where you had to quote scriptures, Mr. Gardner. You know, man, I hope they call on me first because I know John 3:16. Or I know John 11:35. I know Jesus wept. I know thou shalt not kill. I know thou shalt not commit adultery. So guys, when the Lord really, really burdened my heart with this tarot, He really burdened my heart with this message, I just got to thinking of how wonderful God's love is for me. I was thinking of how wonderful God's gift is for me. I was thinking, Miss Esterhazy, of how wonderful faith can be. And I was thinking, Brother Gene, of how wonderful life can be. There's, guys, is where we get the wonderful, 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 wonderful. We're going to break it down. We're going to break down John chapter 3, verse 16, into four sections, so that when we leave this place this afternoon, thank you, Matt. Notice we're not going to leave this morning. We're going to leave this afternoon. So when we leave this place this afternoon, guys, you will all be able to say John chapter 3, verse 16, and you'll be able to recite it. Okay, and that'll be just absolutely wonderful. Guys, I would like to begin our time together again. Thank you so much for being here, and just pray for our service today and for everything that's going through our mind right now. Guys, let's just set it aside for a while and concentrate on God's word, okay? Guys, I would like to begin by saying this. God's love is just amazing. I cannot believe how much, Mitch, that God loves me. And along with that, there shares a story, guys, and I'd like to share this story with you at this time. The advancement of technology has caused one of America's most beloved and most hallowed places to be disturbed. In May of 1998, the quiet place in Arlington National Cemetery, known as the Tomb of Unknowns, was unearthed. The remains of one of the unknowns was exhumed for DNA testing to determine if they were those of Air Force Lieutenant Michael Joseph Blassie. This is a real story. Blassie's sister, Pat, believed her brother's remains were among those interred in Arlington's sacred tomb and had campaigned for the testing. Lieutenant Blassie John was shot down in Vietnam on May 11, 1972, while flying a bombing mission in Vietnam. Although his wallet and dog tags were found near the crash site, he was listed as killed in action, no body recovered. On Memorial Day of 1984, his remains, four ribs, a pelvis, and the upper part of an arm were buried in the Tomb of the Unknowns. 14 years later, Blassie was classified as unknown. That all changed when DNA tests confirmed his identity. On July 12, 1998, he was laid to rest in the Jefferson Barracks National Cemetery in St. Louis, Missouri. An honor guard fired a 20, I don't know how to fire, an honor guard fired a 21-gun salute, and F-15 fighter pilots flew the honorary missing man formation. Now, the name of the man who was once classified as unknown is clearly marked on the military's standard headstone of white Georgia marble. Many of us walk through life the very same way, as though we will live and die with the same classification as Lieutenant Blassie, unknown. But guys, listen closely, listen closely. Scripture reminds us in the great chapter of love that we are fully known. Listen, Tom, we are fully known by a loving God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. We don't need to wait for some new technology to convince us that God knows and loves me. Guys, what we do need is to develop DNA, develop new application for the book that confirms his love and concern. Guys, it is a fact. It is a fact, guys. The first thing we want to pull out of this is the wonderful love that God has, for God so loved the world. God's love is wonderful because of its outreach. It extends to every man, every nation, every city, every town, every people group, every race, every religion, every creed, every individual that has ever walked the face of the earth. God's love has extended down to them. It reaches into my home. It reaches into my church. It's reaching into my school. It's reaching into my workplace. Guys, God's love is reaching down. God's love is reaching down, for God so loved the world. And God's love is wonderful because of what it does, John. It delivers from sin. It heals broken hearts. It mends hurts and disappointments. It lifts the fallen and it restores the broken. Remember, God's love is wonderful. Wonderful love, because God's love lifts the fallen, restores the broken, and just heals disappointments. Guys, let me share with you. It's hard to imagine how much God loves me. Because, Jill, sometimes I'm not the most lovable guy on the planet. But in spite of me, God still loves me. The rabbis of ancient history composed an imagery look at heaven to convey the extent of God's love. The drama unfolds when the Hebrew people were being pursued by the Egyptian army. Do you remember in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, Melanie, when the Hebrews had left Egypt and they were on their way to the promised land? Well, Pharaoh says, hey, I want those people back. So he got on his horses and they started chasing after him. Here comes, Mrs. Gardner, here comes the Egyptian army. And there's the Red Sea. And the Egyptians are saying, oh my goodness, here they come. All right. And this is exactly what's going on. The angels were perched on heaven's edge watching this miraculous parting of the Red Sea. God miraculously parts the Red Sea. And the children of Israel cross over on dry ground. Here comes, Don, here comes the Egyptian army. They're after him. Their horses are going, they're after him. The angels in heaven are watching. When the waters came crashing in on the Egyptians, the angelic host shouted and cheered in victory. You go, God. Yeah, you defeated the enemy, God. You put the hurts on those Egyptians and you wiped them out. God stopped the celebration with just a wave of his hand. Stop right there. Stop right there. With tears in his eyes, God rebuked the angels for their perspective on the tragedy. He said, the very work of my hands has been destroyed, and you would cheer? God's love extends to all men, even those who position themselves, Gene, as an enemy to the kingdom. God's love is wonderful. God's wonderful love extends to all men, even those who are opposed to his kingdom. This is most evident when Jesus requests of forgiveness when he was on the cross. You guys know this, right? I know you're thinking this right now. My goodness, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. God's love, guys, is wonderful. For God so loved the world. You know what? Let's just shout it out. For God so loved the world. Go ahead and giggle. That's okay. We have a wonderful love. Now let's take a look at a wonderful gift. We have a wonderful gift that he gave his only begotten son. The gift is wonderful because of who he is. Christ is God's only begotten son, Mr. Gardner. God gave the best he had, guys. It's wonderful because the gift is wonderful because of what it did. Jesus gave himself to die. To die, Gene, because his death was the penalty for my sin. Miss Leah, his death was the penalty for my sin. And Darla, his death was the penalty for your sin. Christ's death, guys, was the penalty for man's sin. Not kings. Definitely not presidents. Not even the angels. Not physicians, not Sunday school teachers, not song people, not musicians, not team kid workers, not ushers, not preachers, not teachers, guys, but it was Jesus Christ alone and his shed blood that atoned, that made the sacrifice, beloved, for our sins. Only the blood of Christ was sufficient. Not how much money we give, not how well or how poorly we sing, not how well we play the instruments, not how well we teach a Sunday school class, but guys, it was the shed blood, Miss Sharon, it was the shed blood of Jesus Christ that covers my sins. What a wonderful, wonderful gift that was. It was wonderful because of what he does. He forgives sins, guys. He cleanses. He gives peace. And he loves all mankind everywhere. Now, guys, I know right now we just have a whole bunch of things going on in our crawls right now. You know, some of you want to go to lunch. Some of you are interested in watching the Indians. Or some of you are excited about going to the fair. Some of you may start school tomorrow. There's a whole lot of things going on in our life, guys. But let's focus on this, is that the wonderful gift that God has given to us is Jesus Christ. He calms, he cleanses, and he eases the pain that we're going through. And I love this when I read this text, that God cleanses me and God removes my transgressions as far as the east is from the west. Now, guys, that's a long way, but note what Psalm 103 verse 12 does not say. God does not remove our transgressions as far as the north is from the south, guys. It is as far as the east is from the west. If you were to hop in a plane, you fly down, well, you go to Akron Canton because it's cheaper, amen? You go down to Akron Canton, you'll hop on a plane, and you will head west. And you will head west. Tom, I don't care how many times you head west, or how long you head west, I don't care how many times you circle the globe, I don't care how many times you make that flight, Tom, you will never be heading east. You're always heading west. Matt, right? That's right. Okay. If you took a flight to the north, eventually, guys, you would get to the North Pole, Miss Melanie, and then what happens? When you get to the North Pole, okay, you start to begin going south. That's why God, in Psalms 103, verse 12, he says, I will remove your transgressions, Nile. I will remove your transgressions as far as the east is from the west, Mrs. Gardner. I will remove your transgressions never to be remembered again. Because of the wonderful gift that Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. Guys, because he gave his only begotten Son, am I willing to say that my sins have been forgiven. Guys, what a wonderful, wonderful gift that is. Now, I have quoted Marilyn Vos Savant before. If it's sat in my Sunday school class for any amount of time, you will know Marilyn Vos Savant has a column in the newspaper called Ask Marilyn. She is listed in the Guinness Book of World Records Hall of Fame for having the highest IQ. Okay, and then I think second was Chad. Okay, but she's first, and Chad, you're right behind her. Okay, so there you go. In a recent article, a writer writes, what do you consider to be the ultimate compliment that anybody could pay you? What is the ultimate compliment, Darla, that anybody could pay you? Miss Vos Savant wisely replied, to me, the ultimate compliment consists of only three words. I love you. Based on this woman's brilliant insight, God has given each of us the ultimate compliment, and he's asked each of us to give that compliment to the same, guys. When God says to me, he says, Larry, I love you. Jill, I love you. I love you so much, I'm going to give you this wonderful gift. I love you so much, Jill, that I'm going to give my only begotten son for Jill. I'm going to give my only begotten son for Miss Carol. I'm going to give my only begotten son for Joe Good. That's how much, guys, God loves me. We have wonderful love. we have wonderful gifts. As we're going to add a little bit, we're going to go up to, for he, that he gave his only begotten son. You read it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Let's move on to wonderful faith. See what happens. Let's kick it around, John. See what happens, okay? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Once again, we're in John 3:16. We've covered the wonderful love of God. We've covered the wonderful gift of God. Now, guys, we're going to take a look at the wonderful faith. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Faith is wonderful, guys, because it is by the means which we receive God's wonderful gift. I receive the gift, Gene, by faith. Faith pleases God and makes everything possible. We are to live by faith. It is the way, it is a way of life. Guys, in 1 John, not John, not this John, but go way towards the back. 1 John chapter 5, if you would please, turn with me. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, let's take a look at verse 13. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. If you're all there, just say amen. 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 Okay, we'll start with verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Beloved, we have eternal life, once again, not because of who we are, not because of what we've done, but we have eternal life because of what God has done. We that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Guys, it's all about faith. And I'm not going to quote George Michael, that singer, got to have faith. It's good that we do, but guys, faith. There are preachers all around the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, him crucified, risen, and coming again. And there was a preacher, this is a true story, there was a preacher, Mrs. Gardner, in Peking. Okay, his name was Wang Ming Dao, was a pastor in Peking's largest church. During communist persecution, he was thrown into prison because of his testimony and because of his ministry. At the hands of his perpetrators, he was tortured for his faith, fearing even greater suffering, guys. He recanted his belief in Christ and was released by the authorities. He quickly regretted his decision and was seen walking the streets of the city, weeping and mumbling, "I am Judas, I have betrayed my Lord. I am Judas, I have betrayed my Lord." Within a few weeks, he was unable to bear the guilt anymore. He was unable to bear the guilt anymore, guys. He returned to the communist authorities. He confessed his faith in Christ and asked to be put back in prison. For the next 27 years, he suffered the abuse of prison life, but never again entertained the idea of denying the Lord. Guys, when Dao was released at the end of his life, the Chinese church considered him a hero. He was a hero and had given strength and assurance to many who faced threat of persecution and imprisonment. And guys, let's face it, some of us right now, we're undergoing some imprisonment. Some of us right now are undergoing some torture, and some of us are undergoing some persecution right now. Guys, may we be strong in our persecution. Amen. May we be able to stand when the persecution is done, guys. John the Baptist recanted. Guys, and it will happen to every person who tries to walk a Christ-like faith. Guys, in times of spiritual crisis, may we be inspired by both the success and failure of Wang Ming Dao. Guys, may we be inspired. And beloved, let me tell you something. Persecution, I don't know if any one of us will go to prison for our faith. But guys, it may come to that someday. Maybe not our generation, but maybe in Lily's, or maybe in Lily's children's generation, guys. But guys, may we be found. May we be found faithful. Guys, and it's hard. It's hard, Mr. Gardner. It's hard to be faithful. Sometimes, guys, we Christians are a peculiar people. And I'll be perfectly honest, there's no one more peculiar than the guy you're looking at right now. All right? I say some silly things from time to time. I do some silly things from time to time. But A.W. Tozer writes this about the characteristics of a Christian. A.W. Tozer eloquently described the unusual characteristics of a Christian who lives by faith. Listen to what he says. A real Christian is an odd number anyway. He feels supreme love for one whom he has never seen, talks familiarly every day to someone he cannot see, expects to go to heaven on the virtue of another, empties himself in order to be full, admits he is wrong so he can be declared right, goes down in order to get up, is strongest when he is weakest, richest when he is the poorest, happiest when he feels worst. He dies so he can live, forsakes in order to have, gives away so he can keep, sees the invisible, hears the inaudible, and knows that which passes knowledge. To live by faith means embracing a lifestyle that contradicts most of life. Guys, we're an odd sort of people. And may we embrace the wonderful faith, Ruth. May we embrace the wonderful faith that we have, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Okay, guys, I need your attention. We're going to start, for God so loved the world, and we're going to stop at should not perish. You guys ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Lastly, guys, we have entertained wonderful faith. We have entertained wonderful gift. We have looked at wonderful love. Now, guys, let's look at wonderful life. In John chapter 3:16, we read, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but Miss Leah, but have everlasting life." Life is wonderful, guys. Life is wonderful because it is God-given. Only God can produce and perfect life, Gene. Wonderful life begins when we accept by faith God's wonderful love and his wonderful gift. Guys, wonderful life is everlasting. Not even death can separate us from the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, we're beginning to wind down. And guys, I'm just so excited that you're able to bear with me this long, because there's been a lot thrown out here. But we're talking about our life and the time that God has given to us on this planet. And let me share something with you, Miss Paula. Right now, Martin Luther King says this right now. It's not how long a man lives, but how well he uses the time allotted him. Guys, let's use the time that we have allotted, that God has allowed us, wisely. John Quincy Adams says, "My hopes of a future life are founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ." Whether or not you know it, guys, whether or not you realize this right now, this very moment, I have no idea what time it is, and it doesn't matter what time it is. almost quarter after 11, whether or not you realize it, Mrs. Gardner, right now, you are in an important time of your Christian life, right this very moment. Guys, what are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with this wonderful gift? Remember, guys, it's wonderful life. It is wonderful, wonderful life. I would like for you guys, if you would, please, to turn your Bibles to the book of Romans. Can you find the book of Romans? If you can, please find chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Begin reading with verse number 35 of Romans chapter 8. Guys, read with me if you, well, not read with me, just follow along as I read. How's that? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? For it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Guys, nothing, amen? Guys, nothing can separate me from the love of God. And just how wonderful that love is. For God so loved Larry Sadowski. Guys, 34 years ago, I began my working career at Sparkle Market in Grafton. Trucks would come in 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. One of my jobs was to help the truck driver unload the truck. And he gave me a lapel pin, and it said simply three words, I'm a whosoever. And how wonderful that is today, Gene, to know that I am a whosoever. For God so loved the world that whosoever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that Vince would believe and have everlasting life. For God so loved Tom Bohack. For God so loved Jose. And for God so loved Joe Good that he gave his only begotten son, guys, that we might have eternal life. What wonderful love God has for me. And what a wonderful gift it is, guys, that God has given to us. Receive Jesus, Mr. Gardner. Receive Jesus by faith. Having faith, as you've heard, as a little child, to come and to receive Jesus Christ. Guys, maybe we need to come, not yet on the invitation, maybe we need to come and pray to receive Jesus into our life. Maybe we need to come and say, you know what? God, I've received your gift, but I've put it on the shelf. I'm not using the gift that you've given me. Guys, and maybe we just need to embrace that wonderful life, guys, that wonderful life that Jesus Christ can allow us to have. I have a couple more illustrations, one more story, one illustration, then we're dancing, I promise. I've been golfing with Jose. Been golfing with Matt. And I'm not the best golfer in the world. In fact, my golf score is about as much as my bowling score. Okay, so if you guys know anything about bowling, you know I bowl about 150, 160, and that's about my golf score. But I love golf. And you guys know a little bit about golf. You know names like Arnold Palmer. You ever heard of Arnold Palmer? Yeah, sure you have. Jack Nicklaus, what's that guy, that new guy on the block? Tiger Woods, that's it. Tiger Woods, you guys know these names, all right? One name that will probably never surface in a conversation about golf is a man by the name of Doug Ford. Anybody? Niall, you kidding? You know Doug Ford? Okay, this is so cool. Few people have any idea that in 1957, I know none of us were born yet, but in 1957, Doug Ford won the Masters. The Masters is the golf tournament that held down in Augusta, Georgia, and when you win, you get this green jacket, and you get to sport it around, you know, that, hey, I've won the Masters, I'm wearing a green jacket. No green jacket in my closet, by the way, Tara, just in case you're wondering. I don't need to worry about that. All right. But every year, because of him winning in 1957, guys, every year he is invited back to play in the Masters. The Masters rules include a lifetime invitation to every champion of that event. Ford only won the tournament once. Hasn't qualified with his golf skills in over 30 years. Hasn't been able to break par since 1958. That's your golf game, young man. Nonetheless, he gets to play in the tournament because of one single occasion he won the jacket. Our salvation, guys, is similarly linked to this event. If we at one point in our entire life, guys, have made a commitment to eternal security with Jesus Christ, we do not need to requalify. Guys, it's what, look, yes, because of what he has done on Calvary, guys. That is the reason I'm going to heaven. Once again, it's not because I'm a good golfer, because you guys will attest that I am not. It's not because I am good looking, because look at me, I am not. Not because I am rich, not because I am anything. It's because of what Jesus Christ did on Calvary, guys. That's why I'm going to heaven. And folks, if you're sitting in this room and you have not received this gift, then I'm going to encourage you to do so in just a little bit. Now, with me, I carry two things in my front pocket every day of my life. I have a piece of plastic. It's nothing. My little girl Sophie gave it to me. That makes it something. I have a flashlight that does not work. It hasn't worked in probably 2 years. But my little girl Lily gave it to me. Two wonderful gifts. Guys, to you, they don't, to me, if you saw them on the street, you would run them over with your car or you'd throw them away. But to me, they're the most precious gifts that I have. To me, Jesus is the most precious gift that I have. Guys, and I'm sharing him with you. And if you have received Christ as your personal Savior, you don't need to requalify as Doug Ford, you know, didn't have to either. But guys, if you have received Jesus, then you're heaven bound because of that wonderful gift. You're heaven bound because of that wonderful life. You're heaven bound because of that wonderful love that God had for you and me. Guys, may this day be the day that you embrace the love of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day, and I praise you for who you are. I praise you for what you've done. I praise you for what you're going to do and what you're doing right this very moment. Father, I thank you for the sweet spirit that we feel in this place, and I thank you for these fine folks who have